Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
The Markovians are invading Freeland. Grace is on the run and Jen is out for revenge. Stay tuned. The update is up.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
So don't you wonder why I won't say goodbye.
This song was a banger, I'm not going to lie.
I was like, oh my gosh, we need to open up with that song because it was how I was feeling. I was feeling this way for Jen because... You know,
girl, she about to see her man.
We saw
your emotions last week, girl.
The struggle was real.
The struggle stay real on this.
Black Lightning needs a they need to put out like a Spotify playlist of all their music.
Yeah.
I feel like. Get on it, CW. Right. What's up, guys? We are back for another review of Black Lightning season 2. Book of Secrets, Chapter 2, Just and Unjust. We have so much to get into tonight. As always, we have our OMBL moment. So if you're in the chat, make sure you guys start thinking of those, letting us know. And as always, our girl Portia is going to break down what Gambi's been up to in Gamdar. I'm your girl, Drew Jones. I cannot do this without my partner in crime.
What's up, y'all? It's Portia. Thank y'all for tuning in every week. Thank y'all for all the love. I forgot to thank y'all last week for the birthday wishes y'all gave me. You know, when it was my birthday on January 22nd. But we back here now. And now Drew's birthday is coming up.
It sure is. On Sunday.
Yes. Y'all just show us so much love. We really appreciate y'all. Like, for real, for real.
We're getting Black Liddy.
Y'all are amazing.
This weekend.
Black Liddy.
Black Liddy. I know you guys really loved Jordan Calloway on the show last week. I literally wish he could just be on the show with us all the time.
He needs to just be a permanent panelist, right?
Right. We had so much fun with him. We're going to have our girl Chantel on the show very soon. She's going to come hang out with us, talk about Grace, because clearly there's a lot going on with Grace.
Clearly Grace just got ghosts.
So we're going to hop into her. But first, let's hop into the good sis, Lynn, because... Child, this episode just starts out with
It starts out with Lynn being worried about Jen. So yes, she's worried, and you know she's playing mama, but she got some kind of like, I guess I would call it overprotective issues as well, you know, going on there too. But I think what it is she doesn't want her baby to be depressed, because she did say, excuse me, isolation feeds depression. And that is such a true statement. Like, especially when you're going through a lot of tough stuff. Because we all going through some tough stuff, okay? But when you're going through some tough stuff and you get alone and you're by yourself, it gets really hard to try to fight that. Because all you think about is your issues, because you're alone. You have nobody to talk to. Nobody's there to reason with you. So... I definitely understand what she was coming from with that, but I do understand, and this is point two, like, you gotta give her some breathing room. She grown. Well, she not grown, but, you know, she just lost her man. Mm-hmm. She needs some breathing room. And then,
well,
you know,
they got no breathing room because all boys pull up. We find out they're actually the Markovians, and we'll get into the Markovians in just a minute, but they pull up and they start shooting, and we see Agent Odell, who, I don't know if it's just me, I like him. Only because I love how unbothered.
So you got a love hate?
It is a love hate. I love his face expressions and his like one liners, but I don't like him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's very.
I get what you're saying. I kind of get what you're saying. I mean, I straight up don't like dude. Like, don't like dude. Can't mess with him. No, don't come over here. Don't talk to me. That's how that is right there. Mm-hmm. But I get what you're saying. Just his character, like the poise and his petty.
Yeah.
Like, he's just, like, he's really extremely petty, but he's so poised with it, and he holds himself with so much authority, like,
yeah.
Like, what he say, go.
Everybody everybody has
end of story.
Everybody has that petty, mean old auntie, whether she's your biological auntie or she's like your mama's friend, who's just rude as hell and just has like the one liners in the face, and that is Agent Odell.
And then they be with all the class with they rude too.
Mm-hmm.
With like the rude, super, super, super classy, super proper. They like hit you with the straight face to face, look you in your eyes,
yeah,
everything, and just be rude as hell.
So well, Anissa gets shot, but she's okay. And well,
that was a lot for me because I couldn't take it. I'm like, hold on, Drew, I'm already going through too much today. Like, I could not see Anissa get shot, and I didn't understand what was happening. And you know, Drew had to break it down to me, like when she breathed in, you know, well, we already know that when she breathed in, she's bulletproof, but I didn't even know she had took that breath in when the bullet went her way. Like, I didn't see the transaction. Yeah. I just saw her get shot, and I was immediately having an anxiety.
I'm glad they explained it later, and I saw a really good tweet, and I should have screenshotted it. But essentially, it was bringing into the idea that Black people, especially Black women, are always kind of holding our breath, are always tense because of, like, life and how it impacts us. And so,
oh,
like...
Oh, my BL.
I need to find a tweet. I'm going to find it again, and I'll retweet whoever it was, because that was, like, a
That is brilliant. Beautiful.
Yes.
You want to know something? I've been holding my breath all day.
Listen, girl, you ain't never lied.
That's what kept her steady. She holding her breath with a lot. She got... But all types of stuff going on.
I'm glad they explained it later in the episode, but when we watched it, I kind of saw her, like, I even, like, had to rewind it, because I was like, I think she was, like, taking a deep breath.
I know, I'm like, take that back.
Right as she got shot. But she's good to go. Lynn is kind of going through it in this episode. We see her have multiple kind of face-offs with people in this episode. We see her and Odell kind of go back and forth. Odell is still calling her bluff, still saying she's on some BS, which...
I mean, she made up this real floppy story about Anissa. You ain't got the lie, Craig. Yeah. I mean, you could have just... I don't know what she could have come up with, but she could have come up with something better than, oh, she fainted to fake like she got hit. Like, no, because are you going to remember that? You got to remember that for when somebody else asks you, because that don't even sound right.
Yeah.
Somebody faint to act like they got shot? He's, to play it off? No.
He's clearly...
Everybody saw the bullet go through her back.
He's clearly on it. I want to talk about... Her and Jeff, because that was a very interesting conversation.
That took me back to the old Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
The one from last season who I couldn't mess with.
I thought we'd grown so much.
I thought we have grown so much. She played on the fence so... much last season, and it was just like taking me through the roof. She called his, you know, him being a hero, she called it an addiction, you know, she downplayed every single thing.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, you know, punished him every chance she could get about him being a superhero until she found that her daughter's got powers, and now she had to come to terms with it. She's fighting with them, she's going through the motions with them, she's becoming her own superhero in her medical field in the way that she can. So she's doing that. I'm thinking we have like a level ground. But lo and behold, she done went back into her emotions, and she having withdrawals, and she talking about, you know, she wish she could have made better choices and better decisions. And honestly, I feel like just how she lied in Odell's face about Anissa, she lied in Jeff's face too tonight when she told him that, you know, I made some choices that I wish I could take back, but none of those choices were you. You ain't even have to say all that. You could have just kept on with the kept on. When he was asking you what was wrong and you kept on saying nothing, you should have just kept on saying nothing, because now you lying again.
I think she was being honest in that. I think some of the things she said before, because she said, you know, great, Jen's going to get to go back to school and try to be normal. Like, there was a lot of, like, she was throwing around the word normal a lot when it came to...
Right, because she wished she could take it back. She didn't like the choices she made. She doesn't... I don't think she likes the choices she made to marry him, knowing that he had abilities.
I don't think it's that, because I don't think she'd be happy had she not gone down that road. I think it's one of those... I'm trying to think of, like, something that would compare to that. Not that this is even remotely on the same level whatsoever, mm-hmm. but... my parents adopted my brother, who is autistic. I don't think, obviously, it's hard. Like, there's a lot of situations that are hard. He, like, you know, it's not necessarily, he's not necessarily living a quote unquote normal life, but I don't think my parents or I would never want to not have him as my brother. You know what I'm saying?
I get you.
I know my parents would never not want to have him like as their son. So, but is it easy? No. Would they I don't think they regret that choice. You know what I'm saying? I think that's kind of not that autism and metahumans are the same thing. Although autistic children are wonderful and they're superheroes all on their own. But
they are.
I think it's one of those, is it maybe a harder path?
I get the correlation.
Sure. But I think it's worth it. And I think that's basically what she was trying to like play out in her head was like, yeah, it's hard, but it's worth it.
Yeah. She wasn't giving me it's worth it vibe. She was giving me I'm fed up vibes. She was literally giving off the I'm fed up, I'm sick of this. Like, I don't want no more.
I think it was just, like, overwhelming. She's watching her daughter. Like, there's, if you look around her right now, everybody is in pain in some way, shape, or form. Yeah. You know? Jen's in a lot of pain. And, like, Jeff's in pain in his own way. And Anissa's kind of going through her own thing. And I think it was just, like, I hate seeing all these people I love in pain. And it feels like my choices are, even though, like, I'm glad I have these people, my choices kind of, in a way, brought us here. Because I chose to marry Jeff and have kids with Jeff. And, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't think she regrets it. I think it's just, like, it's, like, a motherly instinct.
Yeah.
Like, it hurts me to see people I love hurt. But the Markovians are after her.
Yeah.
They kind of mentioned Markovians last week. I know people in the chat were super flipping out about it because it's a comic book reference. If you're in the chat and you can give us a little more information about them, please do. But they're on Lynn's tail. We even see them try to take Perrina, and she like freezes them.
Yeah, she takes them to her safe space, you know, because she creates all types of safe spaces, and she freezes them like they can't even stop. I think they're going to die. I hope they die.
I just love like how she like picked up her bag right after and was like,
and kept it pushing, walking like ain't nothing happened.
Yeah, she was like, anyway.
Right. Like, what y'all try? I really like her.
I love Perrina.
I did not expect
that. Shout out to the legendary Erica Alexander.
I thought she was about to disappear on them. Because you know how she'd be disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought she was about to disappear. But her disappear is going to the safe space.
Yeah.
But she came back to reality.
And they were just freezing on the floor.
Yeah.
Side note, bring more living single actors on this show because...
It's lit.
It's so lit and I live for it. We don't get to see Tobias a lot this episode. But when we do see of him, it is pretty... It is pretty epic. Weird. I mean, I feel like we got a lot of information from
him.
He's
so weird. He's so weird. I don't understand Tobias right now. Because it's like, I kind of get where Todd is coming from. Like, fool, these are top-of-the-line trained killers. Top-of-the-line trained killers that have been instilled with metahuman power. Like, they have super power. First of all, they're killers. That's first. They're killers. And then they got powers. And you try to unleash the dragon. It's like, what is wrong with you? And it's like, you think that they're automatically going to listen to you. Like, you're automatically going to be their boss, their top of the line dog once you wake these pod killers up. Like, no, I understand you want to build this villain army that you probably got going on in your head. But at the end of the day, you got to take some type of precaution. You can't just be out here unleashing a dragon not knowing what's going to come at you when it's unleashed. You know what I'm saying? That I just don't understand his logic, but he think he all big and bad and powerful. Now, it'd be something if they open up one of these pies and one of them things take him out. Because I'm going to say, that's what you get.
I was going to go ahead and co-sign that entire thing because I don't really have
that's
much.
That's what you get.
I don't really have a lot to add to that. But I do want to go to the chat really quick because someone answered my question about the Markovians. Shout out to Jax Kingston. He basically said Markovia is the anti-outsiders. We did get references to the outsiders last season when Anissa and Grace met. And for you comic book junkies, Thunder and Grace are both in the outsiders in the comics. So we are kind of starting to see, so maybe we will see the outsiders because obviously we see Grace struggling with some powers and whatnot. So maybe we are going to see the outsiders sooner rather then later.
And I'm not mad at that. So thank you. Oh, Jax also said Markovia has hands.
I'm not mad either.
Markovia has hands in everything evil in the DC universe. Let me see if there's anything else. Someone said that means that Geo-Force is coming soon with a possible mention of Terra on the Rise. I'm really interested to see all these new possible, like, these new possible characters getting introduced.
Yeah.
Even though we do miss our boy Khalil.
I still just can't believe it.
I don't know if I still don't know if I'm like 100% sold.
That he's dead?
I will say.
I don't think he's dead.
I don't know. We didn't see a body after he died.
We didn't.
We didn't. There was no open casket or anything like that. And I...
Nobody knows that, right?
Exactly. I was going to say, if there's one thing that we get from DC, Marvel, if there's no... If we don't see a body...
They're not dead.
Sometimes if you see the body, they're still not dead, you know? So, I don't know if I'm sold on that, but we'll have to see.
I don't want him to be dead.
Before we head into Anissa and her relationship, we want to continue to build this relationship that we have with you guys, and Porch is going to tell y'all how we can do
that. Yes, guys, first and foremost, we just want to thank you guys for helping us become the ESPN of TV Talk. We appreciate you more than you know. For us to continue to grow, we need your help. If you're on YouTube right now, hit the thumbs up button, subscribe. If you're on iTunes, give us 5 stars, nothing less. Comment, tell us how much you love us, how much you want to continue to see our show. And no matter where you are, make sure you are involved in every conversation that we have. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has been meant so much to all of us, and we truly appreciate you supporting us for doing what we love to do. Don't forget, tell your friends, tell your family, bring everybody to enjoy the show. Make sure that you don't leave us, because we need you.
We sure do.
We need you. And I just want to say that you guys really make me, like, on some personal stuff, like, really make me happy. Like, there's a lot of times where I'm just like, what is my life like? Am I really, you know, doing what I love to do? Am I really hosting for real? And then I come and I watch the shows, our after shows that I've been on, and we have thousands of views and tons of comments. Like, you people really show us love and appreciation, so I just want to thank y'all for that, and just continue to do that, because it helps us grow. You know, you grow, we all grow together, that type of thing.
Growth all day. Shout out to the chat. We've got Nicholas Kelly, Zias B. Lou, Jazzy Jones, Gracian Ryan, Fan of the Saint.
I got a special shout out.
Yes, shout him out.
I got a special shout out.
I'm going to keep Danny Pollard, Jax Kingston, Renasia, Renji 90998. Y'all are the best.
Okay, so I want to shout out Aaron Lucas. So last week we had Jordan in the building.
I know exactly what that
and
is.
Jordan, you know, he was a lot as a co-host, okay? He was an amazing...
Portia met her match.
He was an amazing guest, but I really met my match, for real. Like, it was like a tit-for-tat, toe-to-toe, you know what I'm saying? And so, on our tit-for-tats and toe-to-toes, and, you know, me talking to him and him talking to me, we just so happened to make eye contact. And so, Aaron Lucas says, "Hey, Jordan, fall back, bro. Trying to make Miss Carter Mrs. Lucas, and your little eye contact is in the way." That comment took me out. So shout out to you, Aaron Lucas. You know, I don't know you that well, but, you know, we could talk about this.
Okay.
I look, Portia Carter is single and ready to mingle.
We're accepting the shots.
We accepted all shots. And that was really nice of you to say that. And granted, the eye contact meant nothing. We were just going toe-to-toe on our topics and our discussion. That's what happened, okay?
Don't worry, y'all. y'all are all Portia's man. So don't even stress.
I'm not about to play with you.
Our girl, Anissa, she was doing her own thing. We saw her do so much this episode. We start out, she has a key to Grace's apartment.
Yeah, that's Steve.
I didn't feel like they were dating for that long.
I got
long.
The keys.
Real quick, how long does it take you to give someone the key to your apartment?
I would say at least a year or two.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, my best friend, I don't even think has a... Oh, no, yes, he does. But
it takes it's only because
I lose my keys all the time, though. But yeah, I don't just be handing people keys, but whatever.
Yeah, that's...
they're keeping it cute together. They're shout out to the little Easter egg of Supergirl on the back of Grace's comic book. I don't know if you caught that.
I didn't.
She was standing there doing the thing.
Shout out to Grace even reading the comics.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And Anissa walking in on it and so amazed to see that her and her father has comics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was just blown away. And it was like, you know, I get the dynamic of them, you know, having their secrets and being secretive with each other. But it was just like, I wish that Anissa could be open with her about why she's so, you know, joyful to see that. Like, you know, this is me and my daddy, and they, you know, got comic books after us. Let's talk about it, you know? But because they couldn't have that moment, it was kind of like, dang.
I almost wonder, though, because there's comic books of them, because there's been this great debate of is Black Lightning going to go into the Arrowverse, which, again, I don't think they are. The Brock Akils have said that they don't want them to. Please don't make them go into the Arrowverse because we don't want to see it. But it does make me wonder how, like, Supergirl and Arrow and the Flash exist in the Black Lightning world, because she is on the back of the comic book, and obviously there's a comic book about them, so it doesn't necessarily mean that she's...
But maybe Grace just has a wide range of comic collections that she reads.
No, for sure, but the existence of Supergirl on the back of that comic book, does that mean that she's a, like, she's, you know, just a made-up comic book character, or is she real in that world? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know how, like, DC references, like, they've made Spider-Man references on The Flash or, like, on this show. They've made Marvel references because it's not real. It's just, like, a comic book to them.
And I get it. I like that. I like that idea. It's not real. It's just a comic book. And she has a wide range of comics. And so they just so happen to all tie together because that's her collection. That's how I feel.
I'm interested to see. I don't know. I would like to see. But, so great. Anissa, we knew, had been kind of volunteering in the clinic for a hot minute.
Yeah, she need to be getting paid for that because she really taking care of people and in their personal lives, okay?
I think that's like a volunteer clinic, so that would take away the volunteering. Also, she's probably, I mean, if she's in med school, you have to get a certain amount of hours.
She's probably getting credits. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, like, she put her all into these people. She sure get into their lives. Like, the reason they had to fight with the party and all of them is because of, you know, her getting into these people's lives and their backgrounds. And now she fighting other people because she getting into people's lives and their backgrounds.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
In comes Monique, who clearly is a victim of domestic violence.
Super clear.
Is not...
Clear as day.
Is not talking at all about it. The front desk... RN, not RA, that's dorms.
It would be NA, nurse assistant. No, I made that up?
I think you might have made that up.
Okay.
It's some letters that mean that she's a nurse. But basically she says that Monique is the girlfriend of Ravon, who is a big guy and the 100 gang. And so
we don't put her into the system. We just throw it away, act like we ain't see it because we keep our lives after that.
Yeah, 100. I feel like
so y'all not logging people in for domestic violence. Like, this girl got whole bruises, scratches. She's choked up, mm-hmm. eyes all black. And you mean to tell me you not logging her into the system just so you can make somebody else happy? Like, I'm not really understanding.
Well, it's sounding like it's either this goes unnoticed or they all die. So it's kind of like which is what the girl was basically saying, is like, we would like to live. Very much so.
That's so unacceptable.
But I mean,
it is unacceptable.
But when a gang is running your town, I feel like I can't be super judgmental of them. But hearing 100 gang for Anissa is like her trigger word, and it's just like, here comes the black hoodie, because sure enough, old girl rolls up into 100 gang territory and goes full ape-ish Yeah. On all of them.
She did.
That was a dope fighting scene.
That was dope.
She goes off.
She went up in there, choked dude up, slammed him against the wall, all types of stuff. Hold on. First she said, get back, sis.
She sure did. And Monique did not hesitate.
Like, and Monique did. She goes, oh, you ain't got to tell me. She said,
I'm going to take.
You know what? I'm going to act like I am. You know, I did not walk in.
Hello, mother? Okay, I got to go. I'm sorry. Phone call.
She just walked back and closed the door like, hey, nothing happened.
She's like, anyway. So she takes this fight. I want to know, chat, if you know, because I know we have a lot of comic book buffs in the chat. She was referred to as Blackbird this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know if that is a comic book reference. Because there's Black Canary. Mm. So I don't know if that's, you know.
She gonna be two superheroes in one? But, Black Canary
already exists.
Her being a black bird is like the vigilante part of superhero.
Yeah.
Because she's stealing money from people. You know right. what I'm saying? She's taking all their stuff.
She's definitely like the Robin Hood. But I want to know if that has any, like. Robin the Hood. I want to know if that has any, if there's any comic book background to that. But she does take the money and she pays for Khalil's funeral.
After she got maced.
Yes.
After she got maced and beat up. And the only way she was getting out of that was to, you know, do her clap, her thunderclap and take all of them out. I'm like, dang, Anissa is getting caught slipping
a
lot.
I was going to say, it was a very close call. And I kind of get nervous when she has to use her powers like that because... Obviously,
then they don't know who she is.
Exactly. There's only so many metahumans that have that particular move.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about
that
at first.
That makes me nervous. But we kind of end We kind of end Anissa's storyline with her and Gambi have a moment, which we'll get into in Gamdar, and I'll let you take that away. But then we also see her and Grace have a really cute moment, and she wants to introduce Grace to her parents. But Grace is, you know, her body is kind of freaking out and doing the whole spotted thing like we saw it do in previous episodes. And Grace basically runs off and is now MIA.
Yeah. I don't think, you know how like some people make you crazy or that was like real straight to the point. But you know, like how they say, how the song says, you light my fire.
Yeah.
That. So it's like, when somebody lights your fire, it's hard to say no to them. It's hard to be in a, it's like you're not sober. It's like you can't be in a sober state with them. And I feel like that's how that's how Grace feels about Anissa. Like, when she's around her, she can't be regular human because the emotions that she have for her light her fire. They awaken her powers. They bring her out of her comfort zone. And it's like she's not willing to be that comfortable with her yet because she doesn't really know how. And she doesn't know that Anissa has powers as well. So it's kind of hard. So I understand why she would run away. I just can't believe she ran away and emptied out her whole closet and everything with no trace of her.
Somebody in the chat, it was a while back, so I apologize for not knowing who said it, but somebody said that maybe they're going to tie Grace into the Markovian storyline, which would be very interesting, I think.
What, them kidnapping her and having to go find her?
Well, no, because the Markovians were also working on metahuman research, and so, like, I think they were insinuating that maybe she is, like, a product of that.
Oh,
which would be interesting. But in the comics, she was like part Amazonian, if I'm correct. I think so. She's part Amazonian. So I'm interested to see how that all plays out.
I can't believe she just ghosted on her, though.
I can believe it.
Like, dipped out. But you was the one that was crying about her ghosting you.
But I mean, it's metahuman powers. I don't think... She doesn't know what we know about Anissa, you know? She just knows that this girl, she likes this girl. She can't control herself around
this girl. I just wish they can be open with each other.
I know. I just want them to have the talk. Like, oh, you got power, sis? Me too. We good. You know, simple
let's
as that.
Let's work together.
Let's work together and be just a
let's
power.
Let's take these fools out.
A power couple. So, let's...
Power couple. I like what you did there.
Before we have to head out of here, let's talk about our girl Jen, because she is clearly going through it. It is post Khalil's death. She is, you know, Mm-mm-mm. She's back to school.
Yeah, she got a lot going on.
There is the memorial and Mike Lowry. I always hear your voice whenever I think of him.
Mike Lowry.
His he you know, has the memorial taken down, and so she puts it back up in a smaller sense, very respectable. And she kind of has a showdown between her and Lowry. And I thought that this entire storyline was very interesting. The whole...
It was real interesting.
The white privilege thing.
Yeah, because first of all, like, she's in pain. Mm-hmm. Like, don't hit her with that. Because she literally said, like, how could I be in so much pain and not bleed? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So because she doesn't see the blood coming out of her, it's like... She's going to create that somewhere, and don't get in her way. And if she put up some pictures because she's mourning the loss of her boyfriend, leave her be. My thing is, as principals and professionals and counselors and adults who are there to cultivate children's atmospheres and environments, you're supposed to be able to help them when they're going through a tough time. You're supposed to be able to see that they're emotional and reason with them. Mm-hmm. The last thing you want to do is be telling her to take her stuff down because you don't like him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, another thing that I find very interesting, and I think we had this conversation when Lowry was first introduced, is when you go into a school in an urban area, there are certain things that you have to be privy to. There are certain things that you have to be aware of that these kids go through that not other schools go to. I went to high school in a very, you know, where there are a lot of projects, very urban area. There was a lot of gang activity and stuff. There's things that our school had to go through that I know for a fact that the school up the road in the nicer neighborhood didn't have to deal with. And I think when you're a principal coming in, especially when you don't look like the student body, I think you have to go in knowing that there's a certain amount of empathy that you have to show, and that there's certain things.
And he doesn't have it. And that's why she resorts to letting him know, like, no, because right now you sound racist. Right now you're judging him. And at the end of the day, if you had an opportunity to gain legs mm-hmm. when you didn't have legs, you're going to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes you make decisions off of emotional moments when you don't know what else to do. If somebody's presenting you with something that's going to help your pain, then I'm going to take that route because at the end of the day, like, I don't know what else to do in this moment.
I also thought it was very interesting that she was very well-spoken with how she said everything. She didn't raise her voice. She wasn't aggressive. The students around her weren't aggressive. They were, you know, everyone was very much in a peacekeeping sense. And I thought it was very interesting how he chose to escalate the situation, and he chose to make it seem like she was being aggressive, and he chose to make it seem like
she was causing even when they came to arrest her and take her out,
she walked away.
She just walked right with them. She didn't fight them. She didn't put up no fight or nothing, but she wasn't about to let him talk to her like she wasn't nothing. She was about to let him have it. And I love every minute of that. And the whole thing with the kids, you know, everybody recorded. Then they get out on their knee and kneel, like,
which
they took a knee for her, and I love that.
Which, good timing with the Super Bowl yesterday.
Yeah, you know?
But
because I didn't watch it,
I want to get into the conversation between Lowry and Jefferson, because Lowry, you know, says that it's racist for him to get called racist. Because he's been, because his parents were both drug users.
Drug addicts, they both died. And he was out in the streets.
Homeless, eating dog food. And Jefferson had,
I'm sorry.
And that Jefferson had, you know, a very successful journalist as a
father.
And I think that how Black Lightning, the show, chose to address white privilege and chose to explain it was brilliant, because it was saying, because Jefferson says, essentially, but looking at us, that doesn't matter. And that's what white privilege really comes down to, is, no one's saying that you don't have it hard. No one's saying that you don't have, that you didn't grow up with a hard life. We're not taking that away from you. What's being said is looking at someone walking down the street, looking at you with black skin, there's automatically, you know, there's automatically...
Yeah, because when it comes down to the majority of America, if you put a I've been out on the street white man up against a rich black man, they're going to choose the I've been out on the street white man, first and foremost. They're going to want to shoot the rich black man down, kill him down, you know, tarnish his career. They're going to want to say that he's this and that and send him to jail. Mm-hmm. They're going to say he done corrupted, did something crazy. Like, they're going to throw his name in the dirt if they can't shoot him dead right there. And you're going to be still white and ain't got nothing.
I think some... There's a comedian, Zach Fox, who has been, for the past year or so, pointing out a very interesting trend that I think is a perfect example of white privilege. And it's whenever there is a white man that's in the news who's done something horrific, whether he murdered his family. Today, there is a story about a white man who murdered three Asian men in a restaurant. They always use these photos that make them look very humane, where they're smiling, where they look like normal average Joes. On the flip side, there are stories of like...
They got all type of... With the black people, they got all type of mug shots. Mug shots. All type of... Look like they've been roughed around in the streets.
Even when the story crazy. Even when the story has nothing to do with something that's violent or illegal. I recently saw a story where a mother had saved her... A mother had passed out, woke up, the house was on fire... Saved her, her daughter, her, like, infant daughter, and the neighbor, because it was, like, a like two apartments or whatever in one house. Mm-hmm. And they used the woman's mugshot. And it had nothing to
outrageous.
Do...
Had nothing to had do nothing with to her do with saving the situation. Them.
So I think it was very interesting how they chose to address white privilege. I think it was something a lot more tangible. I don't want to focus too hard on it, but...
I do want to say that I do sympathize with anybody who goes through anything. It's not that because you're white, nobody cares. No, as it pertains to this conversation and the comparison with white and black, I am the less fortunate than you. That's not to, you know, degrade anything that you've been through. It's not to undermine it. It's not to say that you ain't been through nothing, because you obviously have. Like, I reasoned with Mike Laurie when he was saying all that with his parents dying and he ain't had nothing living out on the streets. Like, I reasoned with him. I understand your struggle. I've been there. Like, we here. But as far as comparison, if you're going to throw that up in my face, like, no. Like, there's no comparison with white privilege. Like, there's none. Like, I'm still going to be the one who has the lesser hand. And so that's all I had to say about that. But I just wanted him to understand where Jeff was coming from. Like, no, we're not, you know, undermining your struggles. It's just you throwing a comparison out there that has to be, you know, that can't even be...
Yeah.
Talked about, really, you know?
Yeah.
It can't be any comparison to that.
I think, yeah, exactly. I agree. White privilege is essentially having, just because you don't have all the tools,
yeah,
you at least have the directions to make yeah. things work. You know what
See,
I'm saying?
See, that's what I was trying to say. It just wasn't coming out like that.
I got you.
I was, cool. Love.
So, we end this episode with the funeral.
Yeah.
Which was very heartbreaking. Jen has a hard time getting out of the car and doing it.
Yeah.
We kind of get everyone's storylines wrapped up in that car scene. We find out that the Markovian Yuri Bakunov, who's the driver, he has diplomatic immunity. So he's back. He's flying back.
Because Jeff Shaw gave him to Henderson, like, hey, I got something for you. Take care of that.
Yeah.
Now he gone.
Yeah, he's gone. And then Anissa is, you know, was looking for Grace. Obviously, Grace is gone. So, funeral happens.
Lynn is mad about Dr. Jace being on the team.
Yep. Funeral's back. Super upsetting. And we see this really heartbreaking moment between Jen and assumed dead Khalil.
Talking about assumed dead.
We haven't seen
I'm on that. We haven't seen the body.
We haven't seen the body, and I don't believe anything.
Yeah, and she professes her promise to take Tobias Wells down, to put him in the grave, all the while Odell is watching her. That was the creepiest thing ever. Like, I'm all with Jen. You know, I'm feeling how she feeling. I'm emotional with her. I'm like, yeah, girl, you know, talk to your man. Cry this out. And then next thing you know, we look over and Mr. Creep in the back, like, fool. Well,
Jen is ready to avenge. She's ready to go off. I think Odell is definitely on, like, he definitely knows what's up.
With or the family.
I think he has assumptions. But so much happened in this episode. I really want to get through our segments before we have to go. So let's hop into our OMBL moments. If you don't know what OMBL is, it's Oh My Black Lightning. It's our OMG moments of the week. You guys in the chat, let us know what your OMBL moments are. What is yours?
My OMBL moment was the fight scene with Anissa and all the guys. Now, we've definitely seen her fight before, you know, running up in people's stuff and all of that. But when she, you know, got sprayed in the eyes, that took me out because they start really hitting her. And I've never seen that before. I haven't seen her, you know, get hit back mm-hmm. since she's been out here being the Black Bird. So that was a lot for me. I was just like, oh, my BL, Anissa, get it together.
Jax Kingston in the chat, his is Anissa using her powers while talking. So when she got shot and she was still using her powers without even realizing.
Oh, yeah. She was using that her was powers. An Oh My BL, too, because I thought she was shot. I was out of there.
I think my OMBL moment was I just like anytime we get to see new powers or one of the characters use their powers in a way we haven't seen before.
Perenna.
So yeah, I really liked Perenna because I just feel like I want them to utilize Perenna more. I want to see more Perenna. I think she's very interesting.
She's amazing. She's powerful.
We don't know a lot about her, so
she need to take me to my safe space. Okay.
Right. Look, listen,
take me where I need to be.
You guys, let us know in the comments what your all's OMBL moments of the week are, and we will be sure to chat it up with you guys this week. But before we head up out of here, let's do Gamdar real quick.
Okay, so this week on Gamdar, Gambi is one of the people responsible for planting these metahuman powers on these four killers. He knows about them. He knows that they were wiped clean from the slate and taken out from the little database that they had. He know what's up. He know what's tea. And obviously, I believe that Gambi is going to find out that Tobias is in search of that. And he's going to try to stop it without telling Jeff, as he does.
Okay.
That's my prediction. Gamdar.
I'm digging it. Thank you for Gamdar. Let's do predictions. But before we do predictions, we have a real quick, I guess it technically counts as news and gossip. Not really. But if you haven't heard, it's going to be a season 3.
Woo!
So we are going to be back.
That is news.
We are going to be AfterBuzz. Thank you, Jonathan. We are going to be back for season three. So hopefully, your girls will be back next season, too.
That's lit. That's so amazing.
And we will try to get more people in next season as well. This season's not over yet, you know, so we might have a couple of tricks up our sleeve. But let's do predictions so we can get up out of here because it's past my bedtime. I'm getting old.
That's crazy. I did not have a prediction ready, but
do you want me to do mine first?
I don't think Khalil's dead.
Okay.
that's all I got because I really don't want him to be dead. I don't think he's dead, and I think it's going to be one of those Lala situations where he just appears back and we like, what?
Mm-hmm.
That.
I think we are going to, by the end of the season, we are going to see the beginning of the Outsiders being assembled. And I think I'm very nervous about these four killers. These four metahumans, just because, like, they're super big and bad. I don't think Tobias is going to have them under control like he thinks he is going to have them.
Of course not. He don't know them.
And I kind of foresee him and Black Lightning teaming up to defeat a greater evil. I think Tobias is the big bad right now, but I don't think he's going to be the big bad of all of season 2.
Yeah.
So that is my prediction. You guys.
I'm ready for him to die.
Let us know in the comments. No, Tobias can't die.
He can.
No.
I think Jen gonna kill him.
Marvin Boo, you better come up in here and defend your character. but you guys in the chat or listening, let us know in the comments what your all's predictions are for the week. You know, who did you really like this week? Who was getting on your nerves? Do you think Khalil is dead? Until next time, I am your girl, Drew Jones. You guys can follow me on all the things at OKDrewJ and my podcast, Season 2 of The Curve. Is coming out on Sunday, which is my birthday. So check it out.
Wow, that's amazing. Thanks, I'm proud of you. And y'all can find me everywhere at Portia Carter. I'm Portia Carter. We out.
Night, y'all.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.